All right, everybody, welcome to another episode of Behind the Counter, your show about comic books and pop culture and a bunch of the crap that me and this guy want to talk about. I'm Rich Stambolian, and with me, as always, is the Taco King of Bayside, Jonathan Adler.
Get your tacos, baby. Get your tacos.
We were just talking about, I'm sure you guys in the chat room heard it, we were just talking about tacos for a little bit.
That's what we're going to do for the next hour.
Is there nothing in your adult life that you could always go for besides a taco or a slice of pizza?
Sometimes a pizza can be a little too much for me, but a taco, yeah. I can honestly say I'd never turn down a taco.
Pineapples. Mm-hmm.
Pineapples I'm a slave to also.
Yeah.
And coconut cream.
Coconut.
Yeah, coconut oil. Cream.
Coconut cream.
Coconut butter?
And butter. Anything from the coconut and the pineapple, I will.
Coconut water?
I do it, baby.
I'm a big fan. I've become a big fan of coconut water.
I hate coconut water.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Hate it.
Gross.
Garbage.
Really?
I think everyone got fooled and think it tastes good. I love everything coconut, but coconut water is really gross by itself.
It's better than Gatorade.
Yeah, but who could drink Gatorade?
Lots of people drink Gatorade.
Assholes.
Man. I think assholes. I think a lot of people drink Gatorade.
It's sugar water.
Electrolytes, bro.
What, it's Gatorade?
Sugar.
Disgusting.
Yeah, just don't drink that shit.
Do you drink a lot of Gatorade?
Hmm?
Do you drink a lot of Gatorade?
No, I hate Gatorade.
Drink water. Water's fine.
I haven't had soda in like over 2 months. I had a sip of a soda like not too long ago.
What type of soda was it?
It was Pepsi. I love Pepsi. I'm a Pepsi kid. I treated myself. I was like, you know what? I had one can of Pepsi in the fridge. I'm like, I have this can of Pepsi right now. Ran 5 miles. It was just like, you know what? This is going to be my jam right now. I took 3 sips of it and it was repulsed.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah. Never had that. I was very disappointed.
Because you have no sugar in your diet at this point.
Yeah. I was very upset. Yeah. It was like, very
sweet. Like I did the same thing with, like I cut out my coffee every morning is just regular black coffee with protein in it.
Black.
Yeah. Like the black... I can drink black, and I like black. Depends on what type of coffee it is, but a lot of times it just comes out too bitter.
Yeah.
But with the protein, you're getting a certain amount of sweetness through it, like a chocolate protein. So it tastes awesome, but anytime I try and go back and put sugar in my coffee, it's awful. Mm-hmm.
This is also the show where we talk about our diets with relation to comic books.
Get used to it, guys.
Mm-hmm. We got NYCC in a month. We got a bunch of cool stuff coming out.
All three of us will be there in attendance.
Yeah, is that happening, Andrew?
Yeah, man.
What?
You got the NYCC?
We were just talking
ticket,
about
right?
it.
I applied. I haven't gotten the tickets yet.
Yeah, but you got approved.
Yeah, you both got approved.
Oh
yeah.
Man, this is gonna be so great.
He's coming in this costume, man.
Wild Pegasus.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I told you, man. You have to go get those WWE buy suits.
So the only thing,
My
only concern is that it's gonna be cold, and I'm not gonna wear the underwear. So I'm going to order tights.
Yeah, just get some like...
No. You're going to be so warm in that place. Put some breakaways on. Pop them suckers off.
No. I want to like go in the outfit. Like, I'm committing.
Get
breakaway pants. Get some blue breakaway pants. Like, it's your intro. Like,
do you think it'd be inappropriate? Like, would I get a ticket for walking around my underwear?
No.
Especially that time of the year.
Okay.
No. You're good. You're covered. Okay.
The last time we went, was it last year, I think? When we walked in, they had the prostitute with the breasts out. The front of the place.
Prostitute. There was the Zangief guy. Fine.
Yeah, there's guys walking around with the dicks out all the time.
There was I don't know if you ever saw the Street Fighter fan series.
Yeah.
The dude who played Zangief, like the old European guy.
Every year.
He's there at Comic-Con every year in like saggy red undies with like, you could see his wank through his undies.
That's awful.
And if that guy's not getting arrested, fine.
He's a greeter.
Yeah. He's just there, you know. Did you look it up?
I'm looking at. There's a bunch of good ones actually.
Put NYCC Zangief,
or watch any of our Comic Con on every season.
Oh my god,
the best. He's a good guy.
Oh yeah, he's a real sweetheart, old European guy. The weird thing is that he doesn't wear shoes when he's
just
in that
so
costume.
Freaking gross, man.
But
should wear pool shoes.
I think he's a hairier than you are, actually.
Oh yeah, I'm not that hairy actually.
Well, yeah, you shave it all off.
No, like even if I don't, it's not that bad.
We'll never know.
As long as we're talking about hair, man. Yo, my eyebrows are destroying it now. They come in all like loopy and droopy. Crazy.
What do you mean?
Getting older.
They're getting
thicker and longer, man.
Yeah, it's good though.
Insane.
Women get more attracted to your eyebrows now.
Oh yeah.
They envy.
Because the rest of you just goes to shit.
And your ears just get bigger and bigger.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm there.
Lucky my ears are undersized, so they're going to grow into normal sized
like
ears.
You have,
but that'll be 100 years old.
You have like you're like the Pinocchio of ears.
Yes.
We're like, well, he's got normal ears.
He's got normal ears.
One day. Talk to me, man. Let's get some news.
News. It's time for news.
I like your shirt, by the way.
Thanks, man. Big ups to Mad Merch. What do we want to talk about? All right, so the big thing coming up in, I think, a couple weeks. I think in October it starts. Gotham.
Yes.
TV show.
Yes.
You're going to watch it.
Absolutely.
I'm going to watch it. This guy's going to read about it.
I'm going to read the spoiler.
Yeah. The early word is that's one of the best new shows that's coming out on television this year.
Everybody, from what I've heard and who I've talked to, has been severely underwhelmed by everything that's come out until the other day when they did the trailer for it. Which looks awesome.
It looks good. It looks. I think the only thing that offsets the good factor is the J.A. Pinkett Smith appearance as Fish Mooney, which I'll never get over. And for the longest time, I really thought it was Halle Berry playing Fish Mooney.
Yeah,
but they're interchangeable.
Yeah,
awful.
You think at this point
they're both awful actresses? Yes.
Yeah. Didn't Halle Berry win an Academy Award?
Yeah, and that was a great movie. She can act. Mm-hmm. But most of the time, she just
phones it in.
Yeah.
She needs a vehicle for
it. Yeah, she's swordfishing it through her career.
I've never seen Swordfish.
It's okay.
Yeah.
You should just stay away from it.
I don't got time for that. I don't got time to watch. I got to watch good movies.
I'm about to watch Transformers Age of Extinction. I just
got a good copy.
Got a great copy.
Yeah.
Wonderful copy.
Is it out there?
Yeah, it's out there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff out there.
I know Godzilla's out there.
Godzilla's terrible, man. Terrible. You'll probably like it, but it's terrible.
Probably will like it.
Terrible. I'm psyched. I'm actually psyched for Gotham. I think it has the biggest chance of actually being something that's not just a CW piece of garbage.
Okay. Arrow's pretty good. Mm. Sold on it, man. I think the Donna Logue being on. See, that's the thing with the CW stuff is that you have, like, it's usually the veteran actors who have been in stuff, you know, who are just like, oh, this guy's a good actor, blah, blah, blah. But right off the bat, having Donna Logue.
But Donald Logue is a golden child that should be on every television show.
I agree with that.
Are you up to date with Vikings at all?
No.
Oh my god. What a friggin' show.
Yeah.
I'm psyched for next
season. Season 4, right?
3.
Damn.
3. The second season is so incredible. But he was on that for a long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
I love Terriers. Terriers is a great show.
I never seen Terriers. I saw one episode of Terriers. I have them all. Like, it's on, like, Vikings and Terriers are on a hard drive.
Mm.
I never got around to Donald Logue, and also our guy Shane from The Shield.
Goggins is in it?
No, I'm saying Goggins should be in everything.
Oh, also. yes. Well, he is being featured in the next Tarantino movie. He's got a much bigger role in another Western. So I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be on CW. Can't wait. Alan Moore was just announced that he's doing a awesome crossed spin-off book called Plus 100.
Mm-hmm.
It's about cross universe 100 years into the future, and like how the world has adapted to the idea that there's a bunch of infected rapist monsters chasing after them.
Pretty much it. Yeah.
That's my favorite apocalypse story right now.
Yeah.
Over Walking Dead. Walking Dead has been really good recently, but by far cross the scariest future in the world.
Yeah, I usually wait for the trades. I can't do them like issue by issue.
So
I like having like the collection of, like, you know,
yeah,
the hardcore graphic novels. What do you want? I love Cross.
I love it. The and I still every time I'll talk about crosscomic.com. The entire story is over. Cy Spurrier did like one of the greatest cross storylines for free. It was a weekly book.
Mm-hmm.
In freaking credit. It was like 4 volumes of stuff for free. Awesome stuff.
Like it.
And the Alan Moore, and like it's Alan Moore, like Alan Moore working with really gross stuff. The last stuff I really saw him do extreme shit with was that, what was that Lovecraft rapist Avatar story?
Yeah.
He did Necropolis.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Where it's just a fish man raping a woman.
Yeah.
Awesome, awesome comic.
Do you think he still has a lot of juice left in?
Absolutely. The all the League of Straight Up Gentlemen, things he's done recently has been awesome.
Mm.
I never left down by Moore. I think he's got a long storied career of him.
Yeah, he's on the short list of people who just crank out goodness.
Yeah, because he does exactly what he wants too.
What else we got?
Axis is right around the corner.
It is, and we got the seeds of it this week in Avengers, where everything gets shunted eight months into the future, which doesn't seem like a lot of time, but in terms of comic books,
it might
as well be Peter Parker going to high school.
It's 4 years or so.
Yeah.
A lot of things. The whole crux of the storyline is Red Skull with the brain of Xavier taking over the world and basically turning the character traits of a lot of dudes on their head, mainly being good guys, bad guys, bad guys, good guys, but a little more complicated. Wolverine's about to die, so what the rumor is that there's another person going to be stepping up into the Wolverine guys.
Mm-hmm.
And the rumor is that's going to be, of course,
his son,
Sabretooth.
Sabretooth, yeah.
And then after a few months, it'll revert over and you'll get a new Wolverine book starring X-23 as the female Wolverine.
Great.
So we need to do that.
Yeah.
I like the character.
I like the, you know what? Like, all new X-Men make, like, the character, I think, found what it needed in Bendis writing her.
Well, X-Force, too.
X-Force, too. But she was also more of, like, the action hero, strong, silent type.
Well, the evolution of her, like, I hate X-23.
Mm-hmm.
When she first premiered, she was a throwaway character, had no real relevance, and then for whatever reason, she stuck around because she sold so many comics. And when she premiered in, who was writing that? Yost was writing X-Force with her in it. Where she got some depth to her and, like, through that whole, what was that big storyline with when Hope was born? The awesome with Sylvester doing the art on it.
Was it when she was born?
When she's born and everyone rushes to her.
Yeah, I can't remember that. And Cable kidnaps her.
Yeah. Like, that was like incredible, like, first uses of using a live X-23. And then they did, I know you didn't read it, the Avengers Arena stuff. Yeah. They did a lot of, like, character development with her.
See, I couldn't get into... no, I'm sorry. I didn't finish Avengers. I thought you were referring to...
Academy?
No, the throwaway book they did for that series. That was just, like, the different people fighting each other.
Avengers Arena?
No, that was the...
Where they're on an island with Arcade, and, like, every issue is them facing off against each other.
That was the follow-up to Avengers Initiative.
Sort of. It was Runaways and Avengers and like Avengers Academy.
Avengers Academy. Yeah. That was the follow up. I'm talking about
Avengers Academy, and then it was first Avengers Academy was the offshoot of Avengers Initiative.
Right.
And then after Avengers Academy was Avengers Arena, where they're all on the island fighting each other.
Everybody gets murdered.
Yeah.
I was thinking of the other one that came out during X-Men versus Avengers.
X-Men versus Avengers.
I think it was X and A, or just like XA.
That's what
I was thinking.
No, not this. But Avengers Academy, I mean, all those things I just thought about were really good. Avengers Arena was really dope, Runaways and Avengers stuff. And now they had Avengers Undercover, which was really good because you got Zemo, but that got canceled.
See, I didn't pick that.
All that stuff is good, man.
The thing I like as a fan going into the comic store, when there's too much of one book, I often pass over, like, whatever it is, you know, like, I like Undercover Avengers, like the new Secret Avengers, just like
Secret Avengers is one of the best freaking books.
X-Men Legacy, just got over it real quick.
I haven't read X-Men Legacy or X-Men in a really long time, but Avengers, which one did you say? Secret Avengers is incredible. Like, that is next wave level book.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, you were saying X-23.
So X-23, she's rumored to be to follow that trend of taking gender roles or race issues and switching them on their head and making a female Wolverine.
Female Thor, female Wolverine. Mm-hmm. But they're just, there's two sides to the argument. The argument of people being pissed off, like, why do you have to be like a lady version of the character? The interesting thing that I think Marvel is doing is that they're not saying, like, oh, this is Lady Thor, this is Lady Wolverine. They're just called Thor and Wolverine.
Yeah.
You know?
Because we get it.
Yeah, we get it. It's the character. Anybody could be these characters, whatever, you know, if you want to go that route. I really like the X-23 stuff in All New X-Men, to her falling in love with
Angel.
With, like, young Angel, who Bendis really hammers home that he is, like, the prettiest dude ever.
Everyone loves him.
Yeah, he's just, like, he's a handsome guy.
And you know? and Iceman, too. Gets a lot of play, too.
Yeah, because it's Iceman.
He's cool.
I like that. It's a good one. And the thing with that book... that everybody gets thrown into the Ultimate Universe makes me think that the Ultimate Universe is slowly kind of going away and it's going to get kind of mashed together. So you also have your Miles Morales, you have your remnants of the X-Men universe, like Wolverine's other son, not Daken, because there's no Daken. It's whatever the kid's name.
James.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. So him coming over, he could be a good...
I don't know. I think all those guys... I part of me, because all the other books, again, canceled, all the other Ultimate books except for Ultimate Spidey, I think every year we always think that Ultimate Universe is going to go bye-bye.
Yeah.
I think it could be a possibility that there'll just be no other Ultimate book except for Ultimate Spidey, and that will be the center point of that universe. But I also have to feel like, have you been up to date with Ultimate Spidey for the most part? It's still incredible, and it's at that area where it's become that book where anything can happen again.
Yeah.
am so invested into it. But I feel like it's at times like, damn, man, this dude is the, like, Bennett's been doing this book for 1,000 years and he's still invested into it. And I, like, I keep on thinking, like, oh, man, like, maybe it'll finally, like, the day that that book, like, he finally leaves that book is when the Ultimate Universe is finally going to crumble. Mm. Like, that'll be the end of the story.
I'll wait
till he's out of stories.
I'll agree with that completely. That book, I think Ultimate Spidey came out in, like, 98, started in 98 or 97?
No, 2000.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You sure it was that late? Okay, so 14 years of this dude writing Ultimate Spider-Man.
Longest run.
Longest run. Hit, like, the stuff now that's going on in this iteration is on par, if not a little more, like, high tension than the stuff that was going on. Do you remember, like, when Ultimate Spidey started and you were getting to the meat of it, like, once, like, everybody was introduced and then you found out how everything was really screwed up?
Yeah.
And
all the consequences. Like, right. That was a big book of consequences.
Like, that's where we're at. Like, around, like, between, like, the 30s and, like, 50s, where it just got, like, yo, this is the best book on the shelf.
Well, they made it a great deal. Like, they made it a big deal for whenever the Green Goblin shows up.
Right.
Like, it becomes such a big story, and immediately you get jettisoned over to Aunt May and, like, Forest Tales. Like, right. they need to battle it out. But it especially to a new degree where... The story of Peter Parker was that he was a friggin' 14-year-old kid, you know, fighting the Hulk and, like, you know, risking his life and people finding out stuff and real-world troubles and stuff always, like, perpetually going wrong because they could do more with him because he's not regular Peter Parker.
And they kept him. They kept him aged.
Yeah, and it didn't do much with that. They didn't go beyond those years. I think they jumped, like, a year into the future at one point. Mm-hmm. They did the same thing with Miles Morales, where now he's a little bit older. But with Miles, it's the same deal where there's intrigue into the character, there's a great mystery holding the story together, and the tension and the consequences are right back there.
He doesn't know what he's doing.
No.
Like, he knows what he's doing, but he doesn't.
Yeah,
like,
Peter Parker just came back and took your web shooters.
What do you think about that? What's your theory? You think it's a clone?
Yeah. I think it's either a clone or having to do with the Spider-Verse thing that's going on right now.
Okay.
Because this is another reality with different Spider-Men. But it's those two other dudes that I think, because they're showing up now. The other guys that dressed up like Spider-Man, that seem like brothers, like gay brothers or whatever.
I think they're another, like, age Peter Parker clone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I think the three of them are going to have some type of clone story. Okay. But I think they're about to reveal more about Miles. I think there's going to be more of a connection to Peter Parker than they let on.
Mm.
Especially with his father, like, hating superheroes so much.
Yeah. Okay. That's a good.
It's a good book, man. It's a good solid book.
Yeah, it's a really. I love the book too, and it's so intriguing. Like, when Bendis gives you, like, that mystery, that's when he's on top of his game.
Yeah.
And you kind of, like, you dote on every word in a script, especially with that book. And I really like that. Was one of my first reads, actually. Like, I really like that book. And in this issue, you had the returning Green Goblin coming to his senses, kind of.
From the sting
yeah. And breaking into Jonah Jameson's house and saying, like, I just want to talk, you know, and he's like, all right, we'll talk. Can I record this? Like, yeah. And then what he says is, you know, like, my head's clear. Like, he zapped me with something. It might have something to do with it. He's like, I was like, aren't you dead? He's like, I was supposed to be dead, but I can't die. And he's like, I think Parker is the same way, where he can't die either. And it kind of just, like, it brings you in where you think, like, oh shit, is that Peter Parker, you know? And the last shot of J. Jonah Jameson pulling out a gun.
Yeah, he asks him, like, do you think you'll kill again?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, yeah, I really can't control myself.
And he just shoots him. Mm-hmm. And, like, I think the next issue is going to be, like, the kind of, like, classic Hulk trope where you see the gunshot, but in Bruce Banner's place, it's the Hulk. So in Norman Osborn's place, it's going to be a fiery,
really, you think,
friggin' demon.
I think that really was the kill, you know, for the moment.
Yeah,
for him. I think the Jameson of that world is one of the most fascinating,
yes,
characters and interpretations of Jameson, because he was the dude who came to his senses, where this guy's the menace, and then when Cataclysm happens, he saves his life and he watches while this guy, basically Spider-Man, saves the city by hand, one by one. And he's like, oh man, I got it. You know, this is the right dude. And now he's willing to go as far as possible to help Spider-Man. Like, he's it's on the table now that he's willing to fund Miles Morales and help him financially and do whatever.
Right.
And now he's a murderer. And he has that thing on record too.
Yeah. And That's a super interesting thing about that character. That was one of my favorite moments in like the entire Cataclysm. It was called Cataclysm.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
That whole thing where Jameson comes to his senses and he's like, my God. And then later on, when the whole death of Spider-Man, when it led up to it, and he was just like, oh my God, it's Peter Parker. Yeah. Not only is this dude incredible, but he's friggin' Peter Parker.
That was one of my favorite deaths in a long time. Yeah. I just, the original plan was for him to die in Cataclysm as opposed to letting it go as long as they did. But you could tell, like, that's why that Fallout stuff they did with the funeral of Parker and the Aunt May crying and
awesome,
stuff.
Awesome.
It was so good because it was all, like, ready. It was supposed to be ready during Cataclysm.
Yeah.
That's why that issue when Jameson does realize that he's not an asshole and that he is this incredible hero, that it's so powerful because you could tell it was part of a larger tapestry of what we want to do with all this.
Phenomenal stuff.
Oh, man, like, it's a shame because at one point, Ultimate X-Men was just as good as that. Mark Miller's Ultimate X-Men and the other iterations of it were awesome for, like, I guess 50 issues or so.
Yeah.
It had an awesome run, and then it got really convoluted.
Yeah, you know what I think? Kind of like the post-Kirkman stuff.
Oh, that's right, he did do
because Kirkman did...
a lot of shit on there, too. Some of the Kirkman X-Men stuff was really subpar.
But they gave him, I think they gave him, like, free range, and, like, it, for some reason, it just didn't click. I enjoy it a lot.
I stuck around with Ultimate X-Men until the end.
Yeah. I wasn't picking that up towards the end.
All that stuff. I even pick up the FF book to do that's now canceled. And all new Ultimates, which is not bad, done by the Cobra guy. And there's another book that they do. That's shit.
They're talking about the Ultimate Universe.
Yeah. But now it's just gonna be the Ultimate Spidey book.
I'm okay with that.
Ultimate FF, the book, that dude was like, that's one of the weird occasions where that book got canceled so fast.
Yeah.
That the book, the last issue, they basically said, do whatever you want. And the entire last three stories was about Spider-Ham.
I love it.
It was like really like the guy's like, no one's reading this book. Just do whatever the hell you want on it. Very weird. Very, very weird. You got to read those Magnetos, man.
Yeah, gave
you.
I do.
Because like that, you read Uncanny this week? Was it Uncanny? No, yeah. Uncanny.
I'm behind.
Avengers? Wait, Uncanny Avengers?
No. You know what? I had to make a choice. And my choice was between The Wicked and Divine. And
to read it?
Right. And I flipped, because I was running out of time, and I flipped through. I was like, you know what? Like, I could save the Scarred Havoc story for another time.
It's not even that story. I know. You know what? I did the same exact thing, right? I read the second page. And I was like, okay, it's a story we're going to be telling today. It's not. It's totally not just about that.
Okay.
It's a big lead into the Axis stuff.
Okay.
Oh, so let's talk about Avengers.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
So the 8 months. Yes. The way that Avengers and New Avengers, which are arguably my favorite books in Marvel right now, are they your favorite books or are the X-Men stuff your favorite?
In Marvel?
Yeah. Those are tough to say now.
It's tough to say, but yeah, I think I'm going to go with, with meaty Marvel, like, repercussion stuff, those two, absolutely.
New Avengers is my favorite book.
Yeah.
Bar none. Like, that is that's everything I want out of a superhero comic.
It's very weighty.
Yeah, man. And also, it's just like, it's the gray area, which is like fascinating. And a bunch of like iconic characters sitting around rooms and destroying planets. This is an awesome freaking idea.
I have a lot of levels to like my different like categories.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm like lighthearted.
Yeah.
This Marvel stuff. Spider-Man's here.
Image crap.
Big, yeah.
BPRD stuff. The So Avengers. So in these two books, my two favorite, and I'm going to put words in his mouth and his favorite as well. Avengers New Avengers, where all the books are taking place 8 months in the future, and every issue we're going back another month. So you get to see how we got to this point. So the Avengers world that we open up to in this, kind of sum it up pretty quickly, is Illumina is on the run. Tony Stark is a huge asshole. He's already in the Superior Iron Man outfit. Amadeus Cho joins the Illuminati, and he's awesome.
I love me some Amadeus Cho.
I'm glad they're reusing him. I felt like after the Hercules stuff that he got lost in the shuffle, but now it's good.
For people that don't know who are watching, Amadeus Cho is a character that was introduced during Greg Pak's run of Incredible Hulk, where he is, I think it was Reed Richards, is the sixth smartest, or somebody. Hank Pym, and he's the seventh. He's like whatever on the list of like geniuses.
He's the last one, but he's arguably the smartest.
Right, and he's young, and he can see like calculations before him, and just
he's almost like a Forge character when it comes to genius level stuff.
Right.
It's like he could see the workings of everything, actually more like Midnighter.
Okay, yeah. He's like Midnighter, and then he got paired, of all heroes, he got paired with Hercules for a very long time.
Which is amazing.
Also Greg Pak stuff, which was very, very awesome. And then, like, the character kind of just, like, he fiddled about for a little bit.
Yeah.
And now he's shown up in Avengers, which is fantastic.
Which is awesome. Yeah. Which is good to see him being reworked. The big thing, so they're all, so the Illuminati is on the run. The other big moment is S.H.I.E.L.D. is apparently being run now by Sue Storm.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. Mm-hmm. So what else was it? There's another bit in there also that was kind of crucial.
That Hawkeye kind of has his ultimate costume.
Yeah, all the dudes are gray.
Yeah.
Like, all, like it's Captain Marvel and Hawkeye are on the S.H.I.E.L.D. Avengers team. Oh, mm-hmm. the Avengers have been co-opted by the government again.
Right.
And S.H.I.E.L.D. runs it. So the Avengers team you see is Hawkeye and Captain Marvel along with drone war machines.
Mm-hmm. We're controlled by Sue Storm.
By Sue Storm. This lends cadence to the idea that there won't be a Fantastic Four.
Right.
That this Illuminati stuff is going to...
break everything up.
Yeah, and even in Uncanny X-Men, I think they did it. They dropped the Fantastic Four thing where they asked, like, someone... It's like, what about the Fantastic? Oh, they're asking for Avengers. Like, oh, we can call the Avengers. The Avengers are off planet.
Mm.
Like, what about the Fantastic Four? And like Maria Hill said, like, don't even ask about them.
Okay.
So like, essentially, if Reed Richards is going to become a quote unquote villain or you know whatever, an in between character, and he isolates himself again, we could see like those characters being spread off into the wind. And the idea of Sue Storm being the leader of S.H.I.E.L.D. is banana balls.
I really enjoy. I don't think she's the leader. I think she was just in charge of that.
The drone people.
That operation, or that was like her job.
Yeah.
I think the reveal is for the leader is going to come a little later.
Mm.
I really, really enjoyed it. I thought it was fantastic. The lead up has been good. I love it when you get thrown into like the midst of something that you kind of have to figure out.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to see the story behind what was the catalyst behind everything. Because the cover isn't misleading, but you have Thor. I think you have old.
That was good. Yeah. Yeah. Hyperion and old Thor.
Just hanging out, man.
And like planning to do something major. Mm-hmm. Oh, and that's the other thing they also drop. The ex-Nihilo and his people.
Right.
Are like creating these worlds in the world. Like they're trying to save worlds, like mm-hmm. what Illuminati do, but they just keep on just dying on their own.
Yeah.
And he mentions that he twinned Earth.
Right.
And that eventually there's going to be a second, like a counter Earth.
Right.
Again.
Which is also like some like cool Jonathan Hickman stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I really like. I forgot about the Thor stuff. The just like two dudes with beards and who are gods, and Thor with the hammer. Thor with the axe
and
now.
The missing arm.
Right. Which I really want. Like I'm really glad Jason Aaron introduced that. I thought that was one of the coolest things in God of Asgard.
Well, we also if this is 8 months,
God of Thunder.
God of Thunder. I think that since this is 8 months, this is already like access stuff is happening. So if there is a switch going on, we're kind of seeing some part of it. That's why people are acting so differently in mm-hmm. this. Thor, I think, eventually becomes like the god of evil at
okay.
that point. And Hyperion, you read the Avengers book that came before, like last week, that throwaway book. It was like Avengers point something, and it's Hyperion saving a little kid.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
And it was pretty damn good. Like yeah. they show like that Hyperion's like, this Hyperion, they're making such a point that he's not going to be corruptible.
Yeah.
Like he's going to be, this is Superman.
He's Superman. Yeah.
Yeah. This guy is like, he's going to do everything right. He's not sense. He's not sense. Century, but the way he's talking and that damn thing with Thor, it sounds like he's going to be doing some
nasty shit.
Nasty shit.
Yeah.
He grew a beard out, which looks awesome on him.
The other tie-in, which I really liked, did you read God of Thunder this week? It was the last issue.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that tie-in because it was the anthology kind of the Granddaughters of Thunder reading the history of like Asgard and the history of like all the tales of hero and might and magic. And it started out with the Malekith story, which was awesome.
Yeah.
And then the second one,
it's like a Tales from the Crypt story.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like
exactly.
Brian Wrightson story.
That's exactly yeah. what I thought of too. It was yeah. just like kind of like this like mini little horror story yeah. about like this evil dark elf. And then the second story was Thor and the Frost Giants, of course.
Yeah.
Which is also fantastic.
Also leading into the next storyline.
Yeah. And then the second, the third book was them trying to, them flipping through a book that they never saw before in the library that was chained up, and it's the Lady Thor, the Thor with one arm, just like all the bad stuff happening, and then Thor shows up.
Enchantress, of course.
Enchantress, dust it off, and it says unworthy.
Yeah.
And, you know, like the book ends, and you're kind of like, oh man, like what's going to happen? And then, you know, it leads into female Thor.
Yeah.
You know, which I still think is Angela.
No, because she's getting her own book, man. She's getting they're doing the Angela Assassin of Asgard book.
I haven't read the Loki Thor miniseries.
I did.
Yet.
I didn't read this week's, the last issue of it. Mm-hmm. I think it's that chick that he was hanging out with in the last couple of issues. Yeah. You know, the one that like is a kind of infatuated with him. I think
yes.
He's like an EMS girl or whatever.
Yeah.
EMT. I don't know what EMS is.
the Eastern Mountain Sports.
There you go.
Skating, skateboard stuff.
Yeah. I think that I think it'd probably be her. I hope it's not Angela. I think Angela would make sense, but I think they really want Kieran Gillen to make her a strong female character.
Okay, that's I'm cool with that. I'm totally cool with that. Just him. I think he loses his arm because he pulls too hard on the hammer. That's stuck
in
the moon.
That's what I hope it is. Mm-hmm. I think you're on the right track. I was thinking the same exact thing when I saw him pulling it up.
Yeah.
We still don't know why he's unworthy.
Yeah.
What was whispered to him that made him. For whatever reason, the secret has made him unworthy immediately.
Mm-hmm.
I hope it's that he beat up a baby or something like that.
It's his. Well, it's got to be with Thor. It's got to be something where it was like, "Oh, it's your fault that this happened."
I think. Well, the genius, like I think Jason Aaron's, like I know you love Jason Aaron's run, and I really like it. I think it's one of the better runs. Yeah. I think it's a little, I don't know, padded at times, but some really cool, great ideas inside of it, especially the idea of. Looking at the three versions of Thor.
Yeah.
You know, the hero Thor, the reckless youth, and old, benevolent, you know, war god Thor.
Like Odin.
Odin. Yeah, Odin Thor. And I think that something's going to be revealed because they've made such a point of the young Thor stuff being that he was so reckless. He was lured all the time.
He's a douche.
He had a god-killing axe on him. And I think they're going to reveal that sometime during his blackouts he... Like he's gonna have a Tony Stark moment where he did something terrible.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
He also helped to make the Hulk.
Right. Yeah. oh man, that'd be awesome. I think it's gonna be maybe you never know. It might be something so minute that it was just his fault that it was gonna be in like the reveal or whatever. The thing I really dig about Jason Aaron's run is that he didn't go with the regular like oh I'm gonna write Thor like let me throw this stuff in and he didn't go with Surtur and.
Yes.
The Warriors 3 and like all that, you know, like all just like the stuff that you always see.
He made a new villain.
Now, like the seeds of this bringing Lofey back, like the King of the Frost Giants. And what was that? Did that show up in Avengers or am I getting the books kind of? Because I read them back to back.
What, the head?
Yeah.
It's still in that Thor issue.
Okay. Yeah.
With the head underneath the Lofey's head underneath the ocean.
Like they're picking up readings and like everything's like screwed up.
I agree with you. I think that that's what I'm saying. Like there's a it does a great job of setting up a new mythos for him and like getting away from the Simonson way of telling the Thor story of like, you know, Odin's here, here's Asgard, Asgard's in trouble, here's Surtur. Like, you know, it helps to break it. And also Kieran Gillen also helped to do that along with the Journey to Mystery stuff and the Loki stuff and expanding on the universe. But I think you're right. Like I think everything is in the right position to really do like the female Thor stuff does not frighten me at all. I think it's going to be an awesome story, especially because we get badass, no shirt, one armed axe Thor.
Exactly.
Yeah. Awesome Thor.
It's going to be fantastic.
And it's something that we've never seen before. We've never seen the unworthy storyline, surprisingly for Thor, that where he was still in the picture.
Right. Well, I think this is also their answer, too, of like, well, we can't kill him again so soon, even though that happened maybe like 10 years ago.
The same thing with Captain America, too. Yeah, the same thing.
Yeah, like we can't, like, this is a good way of going about the revitalization of the character again. Because you know they're going to be gigantic returns. Like when Thor gets the hammer.
By Avengers movie.
Yeah.
They're going to have to reestablish all that stuff again.
Always a big return with Thor. The Cap return is going to be awesome.
Oh, yeah.
The way they brought back Cap last time was a little weird. I feel like it was, I don't feel like it was rushed, but I think it was just like a forgotten chapter of that.
The Cap Reborn stuff?
Yeah.
I think that Ed Brubaker really wrote that story that I'm never going to bring back Captain America again.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, yo, you got to bring back Captain America. And now you have to write a story. And we didn't have an ending for it.
That he traveled through time.
In the
Red Skull's brain.
The crux of it was awesome. Like the idea of like, you know, of like how he comes back is awesome, but then like when you got into the minutia of like how the killing went down, the assassination went down, and like all the stuff you didn't see, like I didn't really like that.
Yeah,
I thought the moment was so like the him getting shot on the steps was so awesome and so bare bones that you really need to do anything about that.
Yeah,
there's other ways to bring him back.
Yeah, because that was the thing that was like the parallel between what happened and like how the return was played out, which you can say the same about any character actually. The best return, I think, and I think most of comics is Hal Jordan, probably. Hal Rebirth was the right way to do it.
Yeah, that broke the mold on how you're supposed to do return.
How to bring somebody back.
I mean, that's the sole reason why we got Barry Allen nowadays because they show like, okay, we can do this with any character that we've taken away off the table.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hal Jordan and I think the Bucky Return.
The Bucky Return, I think, is my perfect one because that Hal Jordan's one thing. Mm-hmm. Bucky was the verboten. You can't go near this guy. He has to stay dead. And he proved everyone wrong. He brought him back in such a great way. The guy has a friggin' movie and probably getting his own franchise.
Exactly. And he's around and he's become like a pretty like awesome character. That's because of Brubaker, you know. Yeah. But you go from that completely espionage mystery of spy stuff. But like the shit that Cap doesn't know about, you know, Black Widow, like everything was kind of tied in. He tied the universe together. And then you go from the death on the steps, amazing. And then the return of which was comic booky, you know?
Yeah. It was but very lackluster.
That's fine. It was a little lackluster. It's
I don't think we would say the same thing if it was a different writer. We held the Brubaker at that point, the Brubaker stuff at such a high point. And you could see after that, the steam was kind of out. Like you could tell. He kind of wrote the third act as being like Winter Soldier becoming Captain America, and this is the way it's supposed to be from now on.
Right.
That's never the case.
Another disappointing return was that weird Daredevil return that happened a few years ago.
Which one was this?
After Shadowland.
Oh, yeah.
And
he's
like in New Mexico, and he stops like a drug cartel, and he's like, I'm back, everybody.
That was a weird time with Daredevil, and that was after whose run? Brubaker?
It went from Bendis to Brubaker to...
Ruka?
No, who did the Shadowland stuff?
Not him. It was like Annie Diggle who did that stuff.
Okay.
There was someone after Brubaker, I think, that was good for a small... I think it was like Anthony Johnson was doing it at the time. And all that, no one, I think at that point, like no one expected anyone to top the Bendis run. Mm-hmm. Brubaker killed it and kept it on the same road. I think everything else was just trying to ape that style and they didn't know what to do. That's why we take a book like Mark Waid now doing what he does and so different than all the other... Did have crap that we've seen before. Shadowland stuff is weird.
What's your favorite return? Winter Soldier? Bucky?
That was so awesome. Anytime D-Man shows up, I'm really excited. I don't know, man. I thought that I think being a Guy Gardner guy, I think the Hal Jordan thing just so took me by surprise how good of a story it was. I know there's ones I'm forgetting. Like I know there's like unmaskings and stuff like that. That I'm just like, oh yeah, because it happens more with villains than it does with heroes nowadays. Because all the heroes have to be in play.
Yeah.
Who else is there? Give me another guy.
I think Thor. Thor was that the end of Civil War?
No, it was later on. Right? I don't think it was the end of Thor.
I'm not sure because I know.
Because the end of Civil War was dealing with the repercussions of Captain America getting killed. That was like the big, and Iron Man like having the weight of the world on his shoulders.
That's right.
Without Thor, Captain America.
I know there was a, like,
Thor came back like two, like I think, oh, he came back during the whole thing when Ares got ripped apart, like during that whole storyline, didn't he?
Siege?
Yeah.
I think he was still there.
Really?
Yeah.
I think that's when they eliminate Ragnarok and Thor comes into picture.
I forget, you know what, because I remember the return being awesome. And
it was awesome, yes.
And we had like the red herring in that Ragnarok showed up in Civil War. That's who showed up in Civil War. And then it was, you know, Reed Richards created a friggin' Thor robot. The best part about returns in comic books is that you get awesome moments now because everything is built to be cinematic.
Yes.
I think if done right, I'm enjoying the Death of Wolverine. Again, it's setting up for like an inevitable awesome return.
Yeah, but I think did you read the second issue of it?
Yeah,
I don't think it was very good. I still enjoyed the hell out of it.
I like bearded Swell Wolverine.
Yeah, that's all great. And like that when they do the pan, they show like all the weird characters in the background of like Madripoor. The worst of it was like the Sabretooth crap, which you just threw away like all the stuff they're doing with Sabretooth right now, like him being like the leader of Madripoor and the whole nine. And like how the fight went down, like he's beating, fighting each other, and Wolverine's winning, even though he's not popping his claws. Lady Deathstrike shows up and like attacks Sabretooth to save Wolverine, and then she's like, "Oh, you didn't pop your claws. That means you're weak. I should kill you now, too."
Yeah,
and Kitty Pryde showing up. It was like running after running after running.
Yeah, yeah,
not very good.
I really want to see how they kill him.
Human Torch returning was an awesome return.
That was a phenomenal return.
Colossus,
yes,
incredible return. Didn't see coming.
You looking it up?
Yeah. Cheating. Green Arrow, awesome return. Yes. Barry Allen, Jason Todd's
was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Barry Allen's was very lackluster.
weird thing about the Captain America stuff, during the same time, we had Batman going through the same exact thing, going through time also, which is much better.
It was way better.
Captain America.
Batman returning.
Bucky Barnes.
Superman coming back. Black costume.
I like that.
Black costume mullet.
I wish it was drawn by different people.
Mm. I had no problem with the art on that. It's just...
The inks on it are too bad. Like, the... it just looks so sketchy.
Too thick.
Yeah, like, I mean, because I have a weird place in my heart for the Return. I think the Return is so much better than all the Death of stuff.
It's a funny
thing. At least
thing.
The Eradicare stuff is better than all the other stuff.
Comic books and comic book fans, like, are very unique and very funny, because that was, like, one of the original times where you had, like, fandom in an uproar that
That's a big death, man.
Mullet? Yeah. No, the Return.
Oh, the Return of it? Yeah.
Mullet? Like, this dude had a mullet, and also that he got split into red and blue.
Well, that happened later on. Like, the whole blue thing, that's probably, like, one of the, like, what the fuck are you doing with these characters right now? How does this work? And
Electricity Superman.
Yeah. But you know what it is? Like, I think also, at that point, too, everyone was waiting for the next Death of Superman to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And people thought that the blue and red Superman was, like, that's the big thing. Like, now it's going to be... Two electric Superman, it's going to be Superman, and that's the way it's going to be forever.
You know what I really wish? I wish if they do like another Mortal Kombat game, Mortal Kombat style game,
that he splits into two.
That they throw in like the alternate, because like all the characters had like the alternate versions.
Yeah,
that they just throw in for each character, even like the mistakes. Just put the mistakes in there, you know, and just have like red and blue Superman.
Oh, he's so good.
Electricity. Yeah, it would be in a video game context, phenomenal.
Oh, it'd be awesome. I don't know what I was going to say. Go ahead.
I was going to say for Marvel, like one, like a Spider-Man noir, which I'm not a fan of.
I like this. Well, speaking of which, have you read any of the Age of Spider-Verse? Awesome, man.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Who's doing that?
Every issue is a different person, but it's all leading up to Slott and like all of his stuff. Second issue, the hype was strong for this book, man. I read like 5-star reviews before the book came out saying it's like one of the best books come out. It's awesome.
Yeah.
The Gwen Stacy Spider-Man thing that everyone's talking about.
Yeah. Okay.
It's like a punk rock story. It's basically Scott Pilgrim becomes Gwen Stacy and then becomes Spider-Woman. Her costume is awesome. Yeah. It's a really unique costume.
I'll check it out.
It's a solid issue. The first one was a Spider-Man Noir issue, which is actually really, really good.
Yeah. Not a fan of the Spider-Man Noir.
Neither was I. I'm not, but I'm saying like in the context of the storyline, it's pretty damn awesome. Mm-hmm. Are you ready for like a ton of Moreland? Like a ton of Moreland. Did you have a problem with Moreland?
No.
Did you have more problem with Ezekiel?
No. My problem with Ezekiel was the same problem that our mystery of the stake.
The payoff being terrible.
No, not the payoff, but it's just like he was just like there all the time. Right. Spider-Man stuff. Hey, by the way, you're attached to the spider lore. Spider-Man.
And you have secret bones in your body.
And then he'll climb up a wall and leave. Like, it was too much, like, you didn't get to the point. There was no, like, it took too long to get to the point with Ezekiel, which wasn't, there was no payoff.
There was no payoff. I think that it's another character who was just designed on, like, well, if there's an old, like, sage-like character that can be Spider-Man. That's like a multi-millionaire that lives in a tower.
Right. That also has spider powers.
But I like the fact that they used him as the guy who has like raised Silk in this like apartment. This like female thing. So that works for it. But like, it's going to be the whole point of this Edge of Spider-Verse is Moreland is like almost like M-Plate, where there's this whole legion of vampire spider people are now traveling through these other dimensions.
Uh-huh.
Because they need spider blood. So they're going to all the different spiders.
That's all right, fine.
So you have like all this, like, and the great part about it is that it's all the crux of the fact that Superior Spider-Man is still going on. Like when he time traveled back in the day,
right,
is how all this stuff starts up, is like he finds out that the universe is coming apart. Mm-hmm. And he's so like Superior Spider-Man is continuing on from where they left off in the future.
So crazy. I didn't read that this week.
Spirit
Spider-Man.
No, it didn't come out yet. That's next week, I think.
No, it came out.
Did it?
Yeah.
I missed
it. I think it was like 33. Came out this week.
The first issue of it came out a month ago.
Yeah.
This one I didn't read. I totally missed it. Yeah. Thank you for telling me.
Pick it up. I gotta check out that Spider-Verse stuff.
It's fun, man.
Yeah.
Read Magneto, man. I want to talk to you about this one.
All right. Maybe next week.
Too tight.
You want to wrap it up?
I want to talk about the Returns eventually, too. I think we could spend an entire 3 days on that stuff.
Yeah. I'll agree with that. All right, everybody, this has been another episode of Behind the Counter. Thank you for joining us. I'm Rich.
I'm John.
Good night.